approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
I have a confession to make. I think I'm in the right place for that, aren't I? I love parades. Ever since I was a kid, I would enjoy and be so excited about a parade. The pageantry, the horses, the marching band with a beat that settled in your stomach, those drum majorettes with batons that twirled, the Shriners and the clown cars, the floats, the balloons. I loved all of it. I thought the majorettes were magical, and I wanted so badly to be one of them. It wasn't to be, sadly. What remained with me, though, was the rhythm of the music, the pounding of the drums, the horns and their sound, the xylophones, and yes, even the bagpipes. To this day, the bagpipes still bring tears to my eyes, but now it's more like it sounds like they're trying to bathe a cat. I reason, for the most part, we typically think of parades as celebrating or heralding something. Of course, parade has different meanings. It can mean a group of people marching in celebration. Parade can also refer to a ceremonial procession or a protest. Or parade can also mean to walk or march in public in an attention-seeking way to fuel one's pride. Pride. By pride, I mean arrogance that gives the impression of superiority, of knowing what's best. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. In the past 5 weeks, those of us who have been delivering services at DeWinton and Okotoks and United Church in the Valley have been speaking to a Lenten theme of giving up or letting go of something. The intent of giving up something is to make a sacrifice in order to be more attentive to God, to live abundantly as God intends for us. I reason, if we consider our Lenten practice from a different angle and give up something that gets in our way, we can also give up something that reduces our ability to live wholeheartedly. Then, perhaps, we would experience an invitation to new self-understanding, new experiences, a renewed relationship with others, and with God. So, as we enter the sixth week of Lent, And we happen to have a very good example by the scripture reading Karen gave us this morning. I want to talk about giving up pride. In today's scripture reading from Mark, we hear of Jesus' humble and simple arrival in Jerusalem, not riding a majestic steed, but a young donkey, not with pride or hubris, with humility and grace. There weren't many cars or trains or planes or buses in Jesus' time. I think hitchhiking would have been a bit awkward. So you traveled on foot to get where you needed to go, especially if you were common folk. Think about that. You want to see someone so compelling, so powerful, that you would be willing to travel miles by foot, on foot. It could take weeks or months to get there. Once you were there, you would be in their presence. You would eat with them. You would witness healing and other miracles and be transfixed by gospel. That was the experience that Jesus gave. As Jesus entered Jerusalem, crowds greeted him. Many of them were throwing cloaks on the ground and palm leaves as an act of reverence or deference, an act typically reserved for royalty. One can almost hear the conversations in the crowd. Who is this guy? Haven't you heard of Jesus? He's done some miracles. Some say he's the Messiah. Is he here to save us? So there's a buzz, to use the modern phrase, about this guy Jesus, and people strategically pick their spot on the roadside so they can see him go by. Others run ahead of him and behind him, shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Hosanna, used to express adoration, praise, and joy. In Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew, depending on where you look on the internet, it can also mean save now or save us, but the key word is save. Not everyone in Jerusalem comprehends who Jesus is. Indeed, some of those voices that are shouting Hosanna are going to be yelling something quite different in the coming days. There were those present who believed that Jesus was there to deliver them from the reign of the Romans. In coming to Jerusalem, Jesus openly declares to the people that he is the king. He is the Messiah they had been waiting for in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He is a challenge to the world, to power and domains, not merely a spiritual challenge, but a political one. There are many theologians who posit that Jesus knew exactly what he was doing by his method of transport into Jerusalem. As the crowds rejoice and claim his arrival, those in power, the chief priests, those in government, were threatened by this Messiah and reacted by intensifying their security measures and planning his death. But Jesus wasn't an earthly king who was there to defeat the Romans. He wasn't present to overthrow a government, though there were many along the road that thought that he was. But their vision of Jesus was limited by their own will, by their own needs. The path to holiness cannot be won through pride. As Christians, we attain that path through the humility found in a willingness to place God at the center of our lives. Even if we are sure of the path God is calling us to walk, we can very easily fall into pride when deciding how best to respond to God's call. Giving up pride means through Christ we experience humility, mercy, selflessness, and compassion as the marks of God's domain. On that same day that Jesus descended from the Mount of Olives and arrived in Jerusalem from the east, Pontius Pilate, on horseback in an imperial procession, paraded into Jerusalem from the west. With him came all the pageantry of Rome, the symbols of Roman power, violence, and glory. I'd like you to hold those two arrivals in your mind for just a moment, because they're polar opposites. One humble and simple, the other arrogant, exaggerated, and full of pride. Father George Corrigan wrote, "Jesus' procession stood in contrast to one unfolded on the other side of the city. Pilate's procession embodied the power of the empire that ruled the world. Jesus' procession embodied an alternate vision, the kingdom of God. Jesus, the king, riding a donkey, the one whose teachings were of compassion, love, service, and deference. Pilate, in a military procession, exhibiting Roman imperial power and imperial theology. Swear allegiance and worship the emperor as God." Jesus came to triumph over much more than the Romans. As Christians, we know the sacrifice he made was at a great cost, his life. In entering Jerusalem, he didn't come as a political conqueror, but as the Messiah King, Savior of souls, a King of peace. Jesus had no conceit. He wasn't self-important or arrogant. Jesus came to defeat the power of sin and death. Palm Sunday provides us with an opportunity to consider how power that rules by force, using weapons of force, can be challenged by those whose power comes from a moral vision. Let me put that in today's context. Hashtag MeToo movement. Black Lives Matter. Truth and Reconciliation. And I'll go back to 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King's March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. There are more apt illustrations of what is possible when people decide to challenge the powers that be. We remember these stories, state theologian Veronese Miles, so that we may find the courage to march with Jesus and proclaim a word of peace and reconciliation despite our location among the common folk. There are constantly two parades running for each of us in our lives. One with pride that contains conceit, arrogance, and an air of superiority, and one with love, humbleness, gratitude, and a full heart. As those who follow the ways of Christ, our parade is definitely the latter. So, take yourself to the parade with our Lord. See yourself running ahead, excited, exhilarated, letting others know who's coming. Hear yourself with the other voices shouting Hosanna and meeting it with adoration, joy, and praise. Find yourself walking alongside Jesus, proudly proclaiming him as the Messiah, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We'll now have a moment for reflection.